You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, Mission Creek Alliance Church, I am excited to be here with you today. I'm excited to share some things that God has been putting on my heart for the Church of Kelowna, for Mission Creek Alliance Church, for Lighthouse Communities, and really just our nation in this season. Well, first a quick story. I don't know about your household, but in my household, it tends to be a lot of rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to be cooking dinner that night. And so Lee and I would go back and forth. Sometimes she cooks, sometimes I cook, and we just have to make it work somehow. We decided that we needed a better way. So we invested in a kitchen cooking appliance called a Thermomix. And the Thermomix is like Instant Pot meets Ninja Blender Vitamix all in one, but even more amazing and like on steroids. It's absolutely amazing. It's a kitchen appliance that cooks, it sautés, it chops vegetables, it makes ice cream, it makes butter chicken and stews and all kinds of amazing things. And so now we love this machine. It's been a good upgrade for us. So we've had it over the last year, and the machine is like touch screen. It's all automated, so you just put the raw ingredients in and follow the recipe, and it cooks everything for you. Well, over the last year, we've kind of explored all the recipes that were pre-programmed in the machine. It came with about 100 recipes pre-programmed in there. And over the year, we kind of hit the limits, and we thought, wow, this is a great thing, but we're kind of hitting the limit on the recipes. We're getting tired of the same things. I wonder if there's an update or an upgrade that we can use to get more recipes. So we looked it up and we bought the upgrade, and now our Thermomix went from doing 100 recipes to 40,000 different pre-programmed recipes. It's amazing. It kind of blows my mind. And it syncs to my Wi-Fi, and I have an app for my Thermomix so I can just look in my fridge and say, okay, I have this ingredient and this ingredient. What can I make? And it shows me recipes, and I put the raw ingredients in, and it automates the cooking process for us. Amazing. What a cool system upgrade, a real game changer in our home. Well, I wonder, along this theme of system upgrade, I wonder if the church today needs a bit of a system upgrade in our thinking about the Holy Spirit. I wonder today if we need a new appreciation for the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I know that this is on the heart of your denomination. It's on the heart of your church. And it's a little bit in the DNA of MCA Church to encounter Jesus, be empowered by the Spirit, and engage our city and beyond. So this morning, I want to explore the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this opportunity to turn to your word, to see your truth, to receive your truth, to be changed, to be made new in your sight, and to be empowered by your presence that goes with us, and empowered by your Spirit that goes with us, God. So be with me as I proclaim your truth this morning. Help us as your church to be the light, to be the salt, and to take steps of obedience as we follow you, Jesus. And so be with us this morning, Lord. Amen. Throughout Scripture, God's presence is what marks his people. It's his presence. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve walking with the Lord in the garden, to Moses' prayer in the Exodus, in Exodus 33, of God, you must go with us or we are not a people, to the tabernacle and the tent of meeting, the place where the Israelites would meet with the Lord, to the physical temple in the Old Testament where God's glory descended and the presence of God was what marked the people, to the book of Revelation, where people will be gathered around the Lord, singing his praises. People from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. It's the presence of the Lord that marks us as a people. And so today I want us to kind of put our mindset back into the first century and think a little bit about the Apostle Paul and his journey. First of all, he grew up in a devout Jewish home. Saul, his Jewish name, I can imagine that he was a very intense and driven kid. And side note, now that I'm a parent, man, parenting an intense kids is hard. It's hard. But anyways, Paul would have grown up in a Jewish home. It says that he was a Pharisee. It says that he was a zealous Jew, meaning that he was willing to go and persecute the enemies of God because he was so zealous. And so imagine with me Paul growing up with this mindset, this traditional Jewish mindset, and the challenges that he had to wrestle through when he first hears about Jesus. Perhaps even met Jesus. When Paul heard about the Jesus followers who were claiming that Jesus rose from the dead, imagine the mindset that he had to wrestle through and the challenge that he faced. When Paul heard about Pentecost and the outpouring of God's Spirit, what was Paul thinking then? When he heard that Jesus' followers who claimed they had the Spirit of God in them, and finally, it became real when the Apostle Paul encounters Jesus and Jesus sets him on a new mission. Paul's mind must have been blown. He needed to wrestle through a major system upgrade. Like our Thermomix going from 100 recipes to 40,000 recipes, Paul had to wrestle through his theology. The theology system upgrade for Paul meant that God's presence wasn't limited to the end of days, but was here and now. God's presence wasn't restricted to the temple, but was in people by God's Spirit. And God's presence wasn't just restricted to the Jews, but was available for all people who believed in Jesus. You see, in the New Testament letters of Paul, we come to understand what this means for us today. To the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you yourselves are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Again, to the Corinthians, Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And so Paul is writing to correct some misunderstandings to the Corinthians, and he appeals to the people in Corinth as the temple, the very place where God dwells in that city. He appeals to the believers as the place where the Spirit of God dwells. This is a system upgrade. The church, the people, are the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. You see, for Paul and his original Jewish mindset, the Spirit of God was always a future reality. It was reserved for the last things, the end times. But here is the Spirit from the future into the present. Well, growing up, I was a bit of a geek at heart, and I loved sci-fi. I know there's some sci-fi geeks out there. I know that we're well represented, even if we don't say it. And so growing up, I remember reading really cool sci-fi books and watching cool sci-fi movies and really getting into this idea of like wormholes and portals that are the heroes in the novels that I would read about would have to travel through a portal or go into a black hole and they would pop out in another time and another dimension of space. And it was just such a cool and fascinating concept of a portal to another time. Well, in some small ways, God has visited his people from the future. We now live in this age of the Spirit where the eternal God dwells in us. And God the Father and Jesus the Son have sent the Spirit to continue to make a people for him. And so, church, we are marked by the Spirit of God. Here is what I really want to get at this morning. When we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, when we talk about God marking us, is this a nice fact for us? Is this just a doctrine that we agree to and we mentally consent? Yes, this is true. Or do we tangibly experience the Holy Spirit? Do we know the person of the Spirit? You see, Paul's churches, they experienced anew God's dynamic presence in a very dynamic and tangible way, perhaps unlike any other time in history. Church, in this season, Mission Creek Alliance Church, in this season, you are primarily the scattered church. You are meeting in your apartment complex. Perhaps you're gathered with your family this morning. Perhaps you're gathered with your Empower group, a few friends, or maybe just on your own. The church is in scattered season, in COVID season. And I wonder, in this season, what really marks our life? Are we marked by the Spirit's presence? Are we marked by self-preservation or self-giving love? Are we marked by fear? Are we marked by the Spirit's presence of joy and hope in this season? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the marks of a Spirit-filled community. And church, I want you to know you are marked by God's Spirit. You are his people. Our way of life must reflect this. God goes with us in dynamic union as a covenant partnership. You, the scattered church, MCA, are the very place that God is currently dwelling in this city. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. God's Spirit is a taste of that heavenly reality that awaits us as believers in Christ. God's Spirit leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And God wants his people, by the Spirit, to reflect his image and his glory in our city. Well, let's move on to the next point, and that's about the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's power in our lives. And you know, it amazes me when you follow the journey of Paul from his Jewish days to his coming to understand the faith and then living as a sold-out Jesus follower. It amazes me that Paul goes from one who is motivated by envy and willing to persecute for God to one who is motivated by love and who will go to the ends of the earth to share the good news with others. The power of God transformed Paul and his motivations, and Paul knew and experienced God's power in a unique way. He had multiple visions of the risen Jesus, a powerful conversion experience, and signs and wonders and miracles often accompanied his preaching and his teaching. Let's look at a few key verses for us to really grapple with the Spirit's power in our life. Again, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and Paul is attesting to how he first came to them. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul says this, "I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling, My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Again, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Later in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this in verse 9. When Paul is wrestling with a thorn in his side, he says, as in Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You see, when Paul encountered the living Jesus, he had to rethink his theology and do a system upgrade. The eternal God had visited his people in time and space by the Spirit. And this was a promise of the end in Paul's mind, a promise of final things in the Jewish mindset. But something was missing. Something else hadn't been fulfilled along with God's Spirit. In the end times, there was supposed to be the restoration of all things in the Jewish mindset. And so Paul, he looks around and he says there's still weakness, there's still suffering. And so today, this is what theologians have come to understand as the already and not yet kingdom of God. Jesus has won the victory on the cross, but those effects are still rolling out until Jesus comes again. And so Paul acknowledges two realities: the reality of power, the Spirit's presence, and the reality of weakness. Paul experiences the power of the Spirit in his preaching, though he himself is weak. Paul experiences hardship and suffering, yet in these, he can experience joy and peace from the Spirit. Paul experiences manifestations of the Spirit, signs and wonders, yet Paul is clear that we are jars of clay, so that it can be abundantly clear that the power rests on God and not us. Paul understood that the Spirit would reveal Jesus and bring glory to the Father. And so Paul lived this out, not as a fact, not as a doctrine, but a way of life in Christ. And so, church, my hope, my dream, my prayer is that we can recapture a little bit of this vision that Paul had of the Spirit, to know the personal presence and power of God. Church, are you with me in that? Are you with me in that? You know, over the last months, God has been challenging me personally to step more into walking with his Spirit and seeking opportunities for operating in the power of the Spirit through divine healing. This is a scary and challenging thing as New Testament believers. And so God has given me three opportunities. Let me just share really quickly. The first opportunity, I totally bombed. I'll be honest. I totally failed. God prompted me, and I didn't pray for the person because I was kind of thinking, God, I'm not so sure if you're going to show up here, and I don't want to look silly, and then I don't want to make anyone feel bad, and I just don't know God. So I bombed. Second opportunity we had, we prayed for somebody, and nothing happened, but that person felt genuine love and care, and that was really important. And then another opportunity that we had, we prayed for someone, and we saw dramatic results. God showed up and reversed a sickness and took away a fever, and it was amazing. We praised God for that. And so God is challenging me to step out, and I hope God is challenging you too. When it comes to the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our life, there can be a few traps that we fall into, church. The first is passivity. Like my first story, we just don't think God will show up, so we don't pray. We decline to be bold, because we'd rather just take the easy road. We stay in the boat instead of getting out of the boat and walking in faith. Well, staying in the boat is not the way of the cross, friends, because Jesus calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. Another trap that we might fall into is defeatism. Just getting defeated before we even start because we think like we need to be a superstar Christian before we can ever walk in God's power and authority. Or maybe we look at others and think we'll never be like that. But this is not true. This is not the way of Jesus. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 18 to be like little children. To be like little children and enter the kingdom of God. Or maybe for you this morning, the topic of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in your life is a little bit uncomfortable. You're a little bit leery. Maybe you grew up in a faith tradition that didn't talk about this or didn't teach on this. Or maybe you grew up in a faith tradition that overemphasized the Spirit. Let me read a helpful quote from R.T. Kendall, a biblical theologian. He says this, "There has been a silent divorce in the church, generally speaking, between the Word and the Spirit. And when there is a divorce, sometimes the kids end up with mom, and sometimes the kids end up with dad. And in this divorce, we have those who are on the Word side and those who are on the Spirit side. What is the difference? Those on the Word side stress earnestly contending for the faith once delivered by the apostles, for expository preaching, for sound theology, for rediscovering the doctrines of the Reformation, such as justification by faith and the sovereignty of God. And until we get back to this, they say, the honor of God's name will not be restored." So what is wrong with this emphasis? Nothing. It's exactly right, in my opinion, says R.T. Kendall. And those on the other side, the Spirit side, they would say we need to get back to the book of Acts. We need to get back to signs and wonders. We need to get back to miracles and the gifts of the Spirit, where places were being shaken at prayer meetings and we had to get into Peter's shadow to be healed, and we better not lie to the Holy Spirit. And until we recover the power of the Spirit, they say, the honor of God's name will not be restored. And so what is wrong with this emphasis? R.T. Kendall says nothing. It's exactly right, in my opinion. The problem is neither side will learn from the other. But if these two would come together, the simultaneous combination would mean spontaneous combustion. And if Smith Wigglesworth got it right, the world would be turned upside down again. This is from the book Holy Fire, A Balanced Biblical Look at the Holy Spirit's Work in Our Lives. And so, church, I am convinced of this one thing. As Lee and I, we try and pioneer a new endeavor in the kingdom, as you, the established church in our city, as the Church of Kelowna, as we truly try to be the church in this time, in this age, in the era of COVID, we desperately need a fresh filling of the Spirit's presence and power in our lives. We cannot be the church without it. My heart longing is that you would be awakened to God's Word and God's power, the living Word and the living Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine. He is a person, and He can move in power. Well, I want to move on to really the application where I bring these ideas all together. And it's a rather simple step forward for us today, church. The call is really simple. The call and the step is to pray daily. We seek the Spirit's presence and power in our life through prayer. You see, when we read the New Testament letters of Paul, one thing that's amazing to me is Paul was an amazing prayer. Soaked throughout his scripture, soaked throughout verses, is prayer. For Paul, prayer is no longer going to the temple and communing with God, but an ongoing communion with God by the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit radically altered Paul's prayer life. The Holy Spirit can radically alter your prayer life. So how? How do we get there? God, through His Spirit, is inviting you into a deeper prayer life, a Spirit-led prayer life. Two verses come to mind. Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are His sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Ephesians 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. You see, the church, the Holy Spirit is our friend and ally. And so for a newborn baby, a cry is the first sign of life. For the newly born Christian, the Spirit cry of Abba is the first sign of life. And like a kid who learns to babble and then talk simply by putting words out and stuttering and stammering, so too with our prayer life. We just simply begin with this Abba cry and learn to pray. Church, God wants us to pray. He gave us His Spirit so that we could pray. He wants us to listen to the voice of the Spirit. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. Prayer is God siding with His people in communion and relationship to Him. And like a child learning to talk, to learn to pray is to simply give it a go, knowing in confidence that God's Spirit in you is making up the difference. Prayer is how the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, the Spirit knows the mind of God. And Romans 8, 26, the Spirit prays on our behalf. Church, the Spirit is in you, knows the mind of God, knows our hearts, and works with us as we pray in participation with God for the renewal of all things. So church, as we close this morning, the Holy Spirit is the eternal God's personal presence in our life. The Holy Spirit is the Almighty God, the Creator, and His powerful presence in our weakness. And so as we close today, God is giving us an invitation. It's a simple one. Are you open to the Spirit? Will you pray? Will we receive His presence and be the salt and light in our neighborhoods? Will you let His power shine through your weakness? And will you pray and receive the wind in your sails to guide and direct you? Join with me as we pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence in our life. We thank You for making us new creations. We thank You for leading us in paths of righteousness. Jesus, we just pray that we could know You personally today, that we may know Your Spirit, that we may learn as a church to walk by Your Spirit, and as Jesus followers, to be truly empowered to be good news to the neighborhoods and networks of Cologne and our city. And so, Jesus, we just pray that You would fill us afresh this morning with Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen.